Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope you find it has meaning and relevance for your life. And now may you be blessed as you hear the reading of God's Word.
Good morning. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Kings, 19th chapter, verse 9. Give you a little context. Elijah is running for his life, scared to death, been 40 days without food or water, to make it to the mountain of the Lord. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." He said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Now there was a great wind, so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks into pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Then there came a voice to him that said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I've been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Amen. Get in. We pray with me. Eternal and gracious God, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation and the inspiration within all of our hearts and thoughts be acceptable in your sight. For you, O Lord, are our strength and our Redeemer. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Through the month of October, we've been working together on the places where we meet God. Another way to put this is the places where God meets us. We started out with the story of Jacob at the riverbank of the Jabbok, where all night he wrestled with God till the break of day. And we talked about those aspects of our lives, those transition points in our lives when chapters change, either by circumstances beyond our control or just by simply growing up into a new kind of understanding about life. These moments of transition, these moments of crossing the river, these border crossings of life, these transitions are places where God meets us. Sometimes they're pleasant encounters. All the time, they're challenging encounters. Last week we talked about Moses. Moses on Mount Sinai, or also Mount Horeb, and the burning bush. What we talked about then was those little incidences in our lives that break us away from the routine. Those little moments that cause us the curiosities that happen in life, that break us out of our routine, that we must turn aside and go see what this is all about. Those moments of curiosities that break from the norm, and we discover that in these breaks, in these changes of routine and status quo, that God is in these moments of and God is calling our attention to things that need our attention. God is there if we're tuned in. This morning, we're talking about Elijah, the Old Testament prophet. Elijah just kind of comes up out of the blue, 1 Kings chapter 16. The prophet of Israel, he says it from the town of Tish. He is Ahab's prophet. He is actually King Ahab's nemesis, thorn in the side. The Bible says King Ahab is the worst king Israel has ever had. It is Ahab, if you remember the story, who goes and marries a Phoenician princess whose name is Jezebel. And Jezebel comes back to the Israel court and brings all of her pagan gods with her and forces Ahab to perform abominations within the temple of God, putting her idols in the holy temple of God, which infuriates Elijah. The role of the prophet is to call the king back into right relationship with God, because if the king strays, the whole nation strays. And so Elijah is adamant. And he prays to God, and God sends a drought upon the entire land for years. It ends with the incredible battle of the gods, if you've read the story, on Mount Carmel. Where the God of Israel prevails over the God of the Canaanites. And when Jezebel learns of this, she calls for the death of Elijah. And he is scared. And he flees for his life. But God is not through with Elijah. He tells Elijah, go to the holy mountain, to Mount Horeb, Mount Sinai. I will meet you there. And so, 40 days, 40 nights, Elijah travels to the mountain of God. And there he is, holed up in a cave. This is the same mountain that Moses experienced the burning bush. This is Mount Sinai, where Moses received the Ten Commandments. This is God's holy mountain. Suddenly, there is a wind blowing more mighty than he has ever experienced in his life. But God was not in the wind. An earthquake begins to shake the foundations of the earth and shakes the very bones in his body, but God is not in the earthquake. Followed by a fire that blazes all around the mountain of God, but God is not in the fire. And then, as the King James Version tells us, after the earthquake, after the fire, there was a still, small voice. Sometimes it's translated as whisper or the sound of sheer silence. And Elijah steps out of the cave. And God basically says to Elijah, stop feeling sorry for yourself. I'm not through with you yet. I have more things for you to do. Gird up and get going. First, I want you to anoint a new king for the nation of Syria. Next, I want you to anoint a new king for the nation of Israel. And then I want you to find Elisha and anoint him as your successor. Elijah, you're not through. Quit whining. Quit feeling sorry for yourself. Get going. I've been thinking about these encounters, these biblical encounters, meetings with God. I'm going to share a couple of more with you. I'm taking you now to the New Testament, the very old priest. His name is Zechariah. He and his wife are very old. They do not have children. They are long past childbearing years. It is Zechariah's turn to enter the temple and do the temple duties of the priest. He finds himself in the middle of the Holy of Holies when God shows up. Which basically means God can show up anywhere, even in church. And the presence of God tells Zechariah, "Behold, your wife is going to bear a son after the spirit of Elijah, and he will prepare the way of the coming of the Lord. And you shall name him John." Zechariah says, "That's impossible. I'm too old. My wife is too old. She is long past childbearing years." And the presence of God says, "Zechariah, have you forgotten? With the Lord, nothing is impossible. And because you don't believe my words, because you doubt." Which will be fulfilled in their time. You will become mute, unable to speak, until the day these things occur. The irony is, for Elijah, God's presence comes in silence. With Zechariah, because of his doubt, Zechariah becomes silent. Until the birth of John the Baptist. And his very first words are, "His name is John." Sometimes God meets us even in our doubt. I don't know if you've ever thought of that, but if you've moments of doubt, moments of uncertainty, moments of confusion, God is there. God is profoundly in that moment, even in moments of doubt. Now you might think, well, God only appears to men, but let's keep going. One of the most important and profound encounters with God is God's encounter with Mary. And we all know what happened there. I hope we do. Now, most of the men, when they encounter God, they have excuses, or they have doubts, or they have questions, or they have confusions. But with Mary, it's, "Here I am. I am your servant. Let it be with me according to your word." And the rest is history. Now, I have been thinking about this, and I've been thinking about it personally, and I've been recalling certain times in my life of what I would consider God encounters. Now, I've mentioned this before. I've told this story before. It's not going to be the last time, but there's a very specific piece of this that I want to share today, and a personal story. Now, it takes place in the summer of 1982. In Westcliff, Colorado, We're on vacation. I've told this story before. It's an early morning. Everybody's asleep. I get up early and I go and start the fire in the fireplace, get the coffee going. And I have a moment of solitude and quiet. I discover an old magazine next to the fireplace. It's an old Look magazine, June 1964. And I start thumbing through it. Now, God has been working on me for some time now, but I was not sure of really what was going on. I was in a very good job with a very secure future, with a pension in place, with health insurance in place, with a family that was growing. Life was good. There was a trajectory of life, and yet something else was going on, not sure. The silence of the moment. I read these words from an article about Dag Hammarskjöld, the former UN's General Secretary of the United Nations, who was killed prematurely in an airplane crash over Africa. Several years later, a book was published that no one ever knew about while he was living. It was his spiritual memoir. It was recently published, and Look magazine was doing a kind of a story on the secret life of Dag Hammarskjöld, his secret spiritual life, the life in his depth of his being. And in the middle of this article is this paragraph, and this is the paragraph that stopped me. He's talking about Dag Hammarskjöld and his spiritual life. He reached the frontiers of the enormous, the end of knowledge, and stood before what Plato called the revolution of the soul, what Buddha described as enlightenment, and what Christians consider a new birth. Have you ever stood on the frontier of the enormous? Do you have an idea what that means, to stand at the frontier of the enormous, that which is far greater than yourself? Plato's revolution of the soul is some kind of a sense of a growing sense of a higher consciousness. Buddha's enlightenment is a moment of clarity. I know what a Christian new birth is. Now, I've been a Christian all my life. I have been nurtured and blessed and grew up in the church. I've been loved by congregations and by a Christian family all my life. But there was something going on in this moment. Something was more than just tugging. It was going in deep. And then this next part of the paragraph. In the case of Hammarskjöld, the light entered gradually into the dark place of masculine power. Not for his Paul in a lightning thunderclap, but in response to a softly spoken yes to the unknown. A softly spoken whisper. Yes. To the unknown. Now somehow, some way, in that moment, there was for me a prayer. For all that has been, thank you. For all that is yet to be, yes. In his spiritual reflection, Hammarskjöld says this: at that moment came the certainty that existence is meaningful and that my life, therefore, in surrender has a purpose. That my life, therefore, in surrender has a purpose. And it was for me in that moment that I knew that a chapter was about to change in my life. And I was going to respond somehow to the call of ministry in my life. Now, that doesn't happen to all of us, a call to ordain ministry. But there is for all of us a moment of standing on the frontier of the enormous, of that which is bigger than all of us. God Almighty, whom we know in the person of Jesus Christ. And there is a call in all of our lives, the moment that a question is asked of us and waiting for an answer. For those of you who have said yes, blessings be on you. For those of you where it's on your lips but has not been spoken, my prayers are with you. Because to say yes is a prayer of commitment and conviction and surrender. For all that has been, thanks. For all that is yet to be, yes. Where are you? Are you ready to say it? It's frightening, but powerful. It's the place where you meet God. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We invite you to join us in worship every Sunday morning at 9 and 10:30 in either our celebration service, which offers a blended worship style, or in The Bridge, which offers a contemporary and soulful worship style. For more information, visit our website, mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.